This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
9:20 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Keith. Let's get a quick update on the FBM KLCI.
Ooh, we're still in the green. We're up by 0.3% to 1,563 points. Rest of the region also in positive territory. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, is up. Gold, Brent crude, cryptocurrencies, all up.
Well, we're turning our attention to a neighboring country, and that's Indonesia. They will have a new president in October with the popular Jokowi Widodo stepping down. And with that, any lingering political uncertainty should diminish, although there are questions whether the incoming president Prabowo Subianto will continue with existing economic policies or introduce radical change.
Prabowo is, however, inheriting a wobbly economy, with the rupiah having depreciated by 5.3% against the US dollar this year, as the Federal Reserve signals that it intends to keep rates higher for longer. However, what pressure does that have on the economy, and what repercussion does it have on the equity market?
For some thoughts on this, we turn to Jerry Goh, ASEAN Equities Investment Manager at Aberdeen. Jerry, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, if we take a look at the JCI, it is down in rupiah terms by 3%, and even more so in USD terms at 8% on a year-to-date basis. For a country which has its fair share of domestic catalysts, like a growing middle-class population and a clear victory for Indonesia's next president, why is the market underperforming its other ASEAN peers?
Good morning. Always good to be back here. I think for the Indonesian market, there probably has been some profit-taking. Because Indonesia has outperformed, I think, over the past one and a half years, right? At the same time, I think if you want to look at catalysts on how the market can continue to grow further, there is a seemingly lack of it. I think the market is probably waiting for the new government to be formed and also stabilized. So the cabinet ministers, for instance. Apart from country-specific reasons, I think there is also the news flow on reduction in Fed cuts in this year, which is weighing on the currency, as you alluded to, and thus driving much more outflows. That's why probably we are seeing the JCI, you know, weakening on that front. But on a fundamental basis, we're still seeing growth occurring in the economy. I think the latest consumer confidence survey levels, it's still rising in March 2024. So I think from my perspective, I still remain cautiously optimistic.
And indeed, Jerry, Moody is also forecasting Indonesia's economy to grow by 5% this year with the central bank primed to cut rates. But instead, Bank Indonesia had to intervene recently because the rupiah did slide past the psychological level of $16,000 to the dollar. How concerned should we be about the currency's fall?
That's quite a scary thought, isn't it? Because I remember last year when we talked about it, the psychological level is like 15,000, and then right now it's around 16,000. I think to sum all this up, right, I think the unfortunate thing that happened during the past 2 weeks, in fact, it's the fundamental US economic data being much more stronger than expected. Inflation is still higher than the comfortable range. Jobs data is still strong. And also this definitely prompted the reduction in market and also Fed's expectations of the number of rate cuts to be done this year. And also how soon the rate cuts will begin. Just last year, we are expecting, I think, around 5-6 rate cuts this year, but right now it's only one. And the cut is also delayed, you know, the first cut from June to maybe around end of the year itself. I think the impact is quite painful for not only Indonesia, but the rest of emerging markets, because the central banks really have to keep in pace with the Fed rate hikes in order to prevent further depreciation of the currencies. I think just give a sum up of the ASEAN currencies year to date. The Vietnam Dong depreciated around 5%, Malaysian Ringgit 4-5%, Thai Baht about 8%, Indonesian Rupiah 5.5%, Peso around 4%. So you can see the emerging Asia economies, the markets, the currencies have all been impacted. Specifically in Indonesia itself, I think the concerns also include how much incremental support the BI can give when they are faced with a shrinking trade surplus. Last year, we enjoyed a lot of trade surplus, but this year, it's relatively not as great. Thankfully, I think these issues are relatively less concerning compared to other emerging economies, because the commodity prices, particularly coal, still remain quite resilient. And we must remember that Indonesia still enjoys that part of the equation where you can get to export this kind of commodities. The FX reserves are still quite healthy. It dropped from February 2024 peak, but still decent. So I think all in all, there are still levers which BI can pull to create resilience for the currency in the short run.
So you don't expect them to raise rates when they review their policy on April 23rd? I mean, it's a hike on the cards, which they last did in October?
I think this depends quite heavily on the inflationary data because BI seems to work with that range. So the core inflation went up in March 2024 by around 3%. It's quite high, but it's still within the range of what BI is working, like 1.5 to 3.5% range. And it's also broadly in line with what the market expects. And the inflation is largely driven by food-related inflation as well. Such inflation could potentially, because we're quite near the top end of the range, if it creeps up above the range, then we are starting to see much more action by the BI. At the same time, we are looking at oil prices being higher than expected, but a lot of industrial economies within Indonesia use oil, but thankfully the government is subsidizing that one a little bit, so it's quite fine on that front. But I feel that if currency depreciates even further, and if it doesn't react to some of the BI operations, such as lowering of swap rates for the USD, open market operations, etc., I think there is a higher chance that a hike could be done. The market is not expecting a hike. They are, in fact, postponing the rate cuts, you know, from BI from June to the later end of the year. So they're still expecting a cut instead of a hike.
So with that, what is the investment strategy to adopt in Indonesia, taking into account the currency trends and also possible changes in economic policy?
I think I would like to spend some time here. So I think the focus will be from both a portfolio perspective and also stock selections perspective. So from a portfolio perspective, I think it would be good to have a few barbell strategies, barbell approach towards the first one, which is winners in a rate hike and rate cut environment. So you barbell it because in the short run, there is a risk of US rate hikes, but over the medium term, the trajectory towards rate cuts, it's quite there, right? So we do not want to miss out when the US cuts rates. So in this case, I think commercial banks within Indonesia would be interesting for rate hikes, so such as Bank Mandiri, BCA. On the other hand, BRI, Bank Rakyat, which is will be a great benefactor of a cut cycle. So in this case, we want to balance the portfolios with these two names. The other portfolio approach would be to balance the portfolio from a USD and IDR perspective. So the view is that the USD could strengthen going forward. So we want to balance a IDR, Indonesian rupiah-centric portfolio, with some of the commodity miners that derive and benefit from and derive revenues from USD. Mm. On a stocks perspective, right, given the volatile environment, I believe a strategy will be to select companies with characteristics such as being an exporter, being defensive, being high quality, and also play to the onshoring team. So some stocks, for instance, like Myora, it's a consumer staples company. It has an exporting business. It makes revenues in USD, and therefore it's resilient to the rate hike environment as USD becomes strong.
Right.
It's also defensive, you know, that sort of nature. Or another company like United Tractors, you know, contracts are certain. This is like quite high quality earnings stream. So this kind of earning stream, certain earning stream companies, it provides a high quality base for investors to invest in.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much. That was Jerry Goh, ASEAN Equities Investment Manager with Aberdeen, talking to us about the opportunities in the Indonesian equity space. 9:28 in the morning, we do have a quick message.
Taylor's Business School has proven to be one of the best in the region and across the globe. According to QS World University Rankings by Subject 2024, Taylor's Business School is the top private school in Southeast Asia for four subjects, namely Business and Management Studies, Accounting and Finance, Economics and Econometrics, and broke into the world's top 50 for marketing.
But what does this ranking mean? Tune in tomorrow at 8:45 a.m. to hear from Professor Dr. Eddie Chong Seong Choi, Executive Dean of the Faculty of Business and Law of Taylor's University. And stay tuned. After the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin, we have People, Planet, Profit, where we look at what makes a quality carbon credit nature-based project. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.